Hi, welcome back to Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller, and I'm joined by my friends Jeff and Keith. We're here today to talk about desired state configuration and the role that it plays in configuration as code. So let me ask you guys to briefly introduce yourselves.
I'm Keith Bankston. I'm a program manager in Windows Server, and I spend the majority of my time working on Windows PowerShell desired state configuration, or DSC.
And my name is Jeff Levinson. I'm a technology solutions professional in the Pacific Northwest. I'm also a member of the ALM Rangers. And I spend most of my time on Visual Studio ALM and Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Online.
Great. So I know that DevOps is one of the hottest topics out there. I've talked to a lot of organizations that are trying to figure out how do they make the move into a DevOps culture. And one of the first ways that organizations embrace DevOps is they try to figure out how do I automate the provisioning and the deployment of all my application changes out to not only production, but to my dev and test and staging environments as well. So I was hoping to really go deep with the DSC experts today and understand what exactly is DSC and what role does it play in that configuration as code process.
So I'm going to start more or less with the role and how that works. One of the big things about configuration as code is that as a developer, you need to make sure that when you put together your application and you do your development on your local test environment and then roll those changes out to a pre-production environment and finally into production, that the number of changes that you make between what you're doing locally and what you check in are very, very few, and everything as much as possible gets checked in and managed all the way through to the final production environment. So Windows PowerShell DSC was a set of changes that were made to PowerShell, and we released this about a year ago. And in effect, what it allows someone to do is to describe what exactly is the state that I want the system in when I'm done. And the way that we do that is we separate some of the elements of a normal script into different pieces. One piece is, let's do all of the work. Let's do all of the normal scripting actions that people do, and that's we put into a DSC resource file. This is something that's a reusable building block. I can repurpose it. I can do something like change a registry setting, install a file, things of that nature. The next thing is the configuration. This is actually the description of what do I want that system to look like when I'm done from a structural standpoint. What are the bits that I need to have installed? What's the set of files that I need to have installed? What are all the list of changes? What's the sequencing? All of that. The final piece, and this is actually fairly important, is you want to be able to separate out that structural configuration from the environment-specific data. And this is really important because as I'm going from my local test environment and dev environment into pre-production and then production, the only thing that changes in theory and in practice is that set of data elements, and so that is a configuration data element. We got these three pieces. All right. So part of what we needed to be able to do then was build this into the infrastructure that was being released by Visual Studio. So again, what we've been doing is integrating with the RM team the DSC elements.
And when you say RM, that's the release management team?
That's correct.
Okay, got it.
And so about 10 months ago, we had been working with the Visual Studio team and making some very good progress on that. And some of that was recently seen at TechEd, and in fact, we released it initially and announced it in TechEd in the summer. But translating all of this typically IT pro related information into something that the developers could understand, that was work that we needed some help with. And so we got hooked up with the Visual Studio ALM Rangers. And quite honestly, they've been really amazing to work with. They picked up the ball. They said, all right, how do we help this out? And we started working on this project for configuration as code. I guess it was back in about May. And we took some time, understood what was really needed to make it understandable for a developer to look at, I've got my code, I've got my application, how do I wrap these DSC elements around it? What do I have to go to learn how to write PowerShell code? All of those questions were things that have been released as guidance and flowcharts and design elements, as well as a really good example recently by the ALM Rangers. One of the major contributors to that was, of course, Jeff.
Fantastic. So Jeff, you're going to tell us how the artifacts that you guys have created are really, I think the key word here is helping the developers understand this space, because traditionally this is all the job of the IT professionals, and you know, as a developer we throw our code over the fence and we hope that it works, right?
Right. So I got involved because I was one of the aforementioned developers, and I had no clue how to use PowerShell or DSC at the time. I mean, I knew PowerShell a little bit, but I struggled, like everyone else does, with releasing software to production because I didn't know how to talk to the operations folks, and we'd configure our dev servers one way and they configured production another. Mm-hmm. So this was an opportunity to really get in there and work through these issues and explain it to everyone else so everyone can use it now. And now I am a lifelong believer in DSC because it's made my life way easier, and it's made a lot of our customers' lives easier as well. So today I'm going to demonstrate DSC integrated with release management, which is a fairly, I'm going to say, important aspect of what we're doing, because currently, or actually in previous versions of release management, you had to do this long workflow worth of stuff to do. You couldn't configure it, you couldn't communicate it to operations very well, and there wasn't a common language for discussing it. So what DSC lets us do is discuss with the operations team in plain English what it is we need the system to do and be configured as, and we can provide the operations team the configuration scripts that they can use to configure their systems.
That's great. Yeah, DSC is like the Rosetta Stone between developers and operations.
Yes, so, it great. Is, great. And I'm going to demonstrate that now. So
yeah, let's take a look.
Without spending a lot of time on the application itself, what I'm going to do is kick off a build, and when I kick off this build, I'll go and explain the DSC itself. So I'm just going to queue a build. This is using release management in Visual Studio Online, although you can do this on premises as well. And we're going to let this build. And just to demonstrate this, I have three web servers here, my dev server, test server, and my pseudo production server with absolutely nothing installed on it at all right now. And we're going to hope this actually gets it installed the right way. So the DSC for this is a simple MVC application, just to be able to demonstrate to folks how this works. What this DSC is, you can see it's just PowerShell structure. It's got a configuration tag up here, which says this is a DSC configuration. I'm importing a resource, which is the X Web Administration. The X in front stands for experimental. But all I'm telling it to do here is on the node, localhost, I can replace this with other things as well. I am going to copy some deployment bits, and this is just the label I'm using to reference the file DSC. I want a new directory created, and I want the source to be where my application's built from, and my destination to be inetpub www.root. Then I want to take the default website, and I want to stop it. And I want to make sure that it is stopped, and I want it to not run until after I've copied my deployment bits. Again, pretty straightforward. I'm able to chain actions together. And then finally, I'm creating a new website, which is my blog demo website. I want it to be present, started. This is the physical path, and I want it to run after the default site is shut down, because if I don't do that, it actually won't complete, because they'll both be competing for resources on port 80. That's it. I can hand this to any operations person. They should be able to read this and understand this, and because it's a DSC, they can actually replay it themselves separately on any server that they want to do it on. Now, the beauty of this is, because this is a simple example, I'm actually deploying this out to three different servers right now: my dev server, my test server, and my production server. It's the same configuration across everything. I am guaranteed that my system will have these capabilities enabled with this website and these bits when I go to that server. I did not have to do anything. I don't have to log into the server. I don't have to go script things out here. I don't have to go beg an operations folks to do this for me. It works.
But if you, for example, if you needed to set a different port on the production server from your development server, you have that option by feeding in this configuration data?
Yes. So one of the beautiful things about this, let me jump over here and show you this, because this does not work in Visual Studio. You actually have to do this in PowerShell ISE. So let's jump over here and open this up here. Well, let's see if I can do it this way. Yeah, I can do it. So when I come into PowerShell ISE, if I put my cursor in the X website and hit Control Spacebar, I get this with the list of things that I can do. So I can set the application pool information and binding information, which lets me control what port things are put on or various other options that I can do. In addition, there's other things aside from X website that you can do with the administration DSC. There's a bunch of different capabilities built into it. So this becomes, again, fairly trivial to put everything together and make it work. And there's a lot of different references that are resources that are available. And in fact, if you look at the DSC resource kit, which is what's available on PowerShell Gallery, you can see that there are a ton of different resources. Not a ton, but there's a whole lot. And with any of these resources, you can do almost everything that I've run across so far. I'm sure there's things you can't do, but there's a lot, and we are building more of these things every week now, it seems like. The Rangers have agreed to take on a second wave of work to help fill in any gaps that we find.
Okay, and so Keith, I know that another aspect of DSC is this idea of configuration drift. So what Jeff's doing when he goes out and says, go make it so, go deploy this set of configuration artifacts into this box and make it look like what I expect it to look like is great, and that's gonna work right out of the box once he runs that deployment. But what if something else comes along and then changes that configuration, like either an IT administrator or Update Tuesday runs? How does DSC handle that?
Well, the whole purpose behind desired state configuration is not only to put the system into the state that you want it to be in, but also to maintain it. And so, by default, DSC will check every 30 minutes, it's configurable, and see, are any of the elements that you called out specifically in your configuration, in his case, the files and the websites, have they changed? And if they have, then, again, by default, DSC will put it back the way it started. Now, you can configure that if you want to just generate an error and monitor for those kinds of changes. The whole point being, you've described what the elements of the state are that are important in your configuration. And so we'll monitor those things explicitly and make sure they stay that way.
Okay, and if they do change, then you'll just flip it back then?
It's configurable. Mm-hmm. We'll either put it back or at a minimum generate an alert so that you can go investigate why did this change and fix the root cause of it if you choose.
Okay, and then those alerts show up in the event log?
They show up in the TW event log under a Windows PowerShell channel.
Okay, fantastic. So Jeff, how's the deployment going?
So it looks like we are onto the testing stage, and by the time I get there, this should all work.
Okay.
But if I refresh my dev environment, we're going to cross our fingers and hope this actually works the way that it should work. Not overly worried.
The demo gods are with you today.
Yes, exactly. I'm not overly worried about this because actually DSC has been remarkably stable and consistent for me. So it's usually I'm the one with the problem and DSC is doing okay.
All right.
And there we go. We have a deployed application. If I come over to test, this is probably deployed as well now. Or maybe not. It's still going.
Okay. So now you're in the release management tool. Do you want to just describe a little bit more about how this relates to the DSC you were showing earlier?
Yeah. So there's a couple of interesting things about this. The first is that the DSC file I was showing, configuration file, is under source control. So anyone can get to it. Anyone can look at it. You can make changes to it. You can see the whole history of changes here. In release management, what I did was I defined a release, which is this blog demo release. And I defined three stages here, so dev, test, and production. Mm-hmm. And in each stage here, all I have called out is essentially that I'm going to run this deployment script 1.ps1, and release management knows it's a DSC file because of the configuration tag at the beginning. But basically, that's it. It goes and configures my server. I'm not doing anything in release management except defining the path that it's going to go through. So my development, testing, and production environments, these are all the same things. And you can throw as many different DSC resources in here, as many actions as you want in here to make this work. But I've just deployed three web applications to three different servers with one block of code that I've used across all different systems.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so I'm going to guess that this is all done at this point. So come here. Oh, production's not done yet, but testing is going to be done.
Okay.
So it takes a little bit of time, but not too much. In the overall build process, this can be deployed every night. You're guaranteed the configuration. You can replicate this in production.
That's great. So I know we're going to provide links down below the video here for all the great resources that you shipped as part of this Rangers project, I should say. So what's next? What's on your roadmap for DSC and what can customers look forward to?
So there's a number of things that we're focusing on. If you can shift back to the code window for just a minute, Jeff.
Sure.
One of the key elements that we are trying to expand on, this is a DSC resource, this file component. Same here for website, et cetera. We're trying to expand those resources to cover as much ground as possible and reduce the amount of coding the developers have to do. Give them these reusable building blocks. They're all released. They're all on TechNet, and they are also part of the PowerShell gallery. And one of the other things that we are looking at very closely, and this ties into the recent .NET announcement, is trying to build an open source development environment around delivering these resources. We don't want people to waste time delivering something that somebody else is working on if we can find a way of sharing that development effort. We're going to continue working with the ALM Rangers, and as Jeff mentioned, we're going to be focused on expanding the coverage in those DSC resources, and also little tighter integration with Visual Studio as we go along. So there's a lot of work that's underway, and a lot of it is focused on, let's make it as easy as possible to pick these tools up in the environment that people are accustomed to, leverage it from within Visual Studio, and get their applications deployed. Take advantage of the DevOps tools we're delivering.
So presumably, when Jeff dropped to ISE a minute ago, in the future, he shouldn't have to do that. He should be able to do everything within Visual Studio, is the dream.
That is the target.
All right, fantastic. Well, thanks, guys. I know that you'll be participating in the Channel 9 discussion, so if people have questions and comments for you, you can leave them down below. And like I said, we'll provide a lot of links to all the resources we talked about. Thanks for giving us a kind of an overview here of DSC and what that means for developers.
All right, thank you, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.